God's love is amazing, isn't it? Just thinking about all that He did for us. And we know who we are. We know our hearts. We know our sin. And yet He loves us in such an amazing, powerful way. this morning we're going to be in Hebrews 12. I finished up Hebrews 11 and I just couldn't help but keep going on through Hebrews. So we're going to be in Hebrews 12. We're going to look at the first two verses of Hebrews 12. If you don't have a Bible there, there should be one there in front of you. For the last month, we have looked at many great examples, so many great examples of faith. Men and women of the Old Testament who by faith in God and His Word persevered through great hardship. They overcame extreme obstacles. They experienced tremendous victories and success. They received the ultimate reward of heaven. What a great cloud of witnesses we have looked at. And we can look to them when we face life's trials, when we face circumstances. Don't think that the Old Testament is not relevant for your life today. Because when we read and study and meditate on the Old Testament, it's going to practically impact our life for today. When we think our family issues are too big to handle, then we look at people like Joseph that we looked at. And we learn lessons from his life and his faith, that he had faith through it all and his family, all the family issues, and he waited on God to fulfill his promises. So when we feel like getting revenge for someone who's done us wrong, we look to people like David, who we looked at their faith and how he trusted in God to fulfill his promises and did not take things into his own hands. The Bible is a perfect treasure of God's divine instructions. These stories of people who had faith, these stories of people who lacked faith, are filled with timeless principles that encourage us to have faith today and to persevere through whatever things come our way, whatever trials, whatever test. We know that God is trustworthy in all of His promises. He is faithful to His children. And so we can persevere by looking at that. Today, I want us to consider what might be holding us back from running this race according to God's Word. What kinds of things are weighing us down and keeping us from experiencing all that God has for us? First, I want us to remind ourselves of the heroes of faith that have gone before us. But before we get into His Word, I want us to just bow our heads and ask the Lord to work in our hearts today. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for the grand story of redemption, the whole story, that we know it from beginning to end, Father. It is amazing that we hold Your truth, Your Word without error in our hands today. It is amazing that Your Holy Spirit that lives within us helps us understand Your Word. It illuminates it. It helps us to know how to practically apply Your Word to our lives. It helps us live righteous and holy lives, to be molded into the likeness of Christ. And Father, today I ask that You would work in each one of our hearts, wherever we are, meet us right there. Draw us to Yourself. Open our hearts and minds and help us to understand Your Word, apply it to our lives, to be obedient to what You have called us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's first read there in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Remember the victors as we run the race according to God's Word. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with the race that is set before us. Here in verse 1, we see a familiar analogy. It's used in many other places in the New Testament. This verse gives us an image of a runner running the race. The race being the race of life, the runner being those who follow Christ. Picture in your mind an athlete who continually trains and disciplines his body in order to run a marathon or to run the race and that is set before him, to run and to win. If you've ever trained for a marathon, to run in a marathon, you have an idea of what kind of training and discipline I'm talking about. especially if you had a desire to win or at least finish strong. Not just walk in the race, but actually run and finish strong. People who run, they beat their bodies, man. They discipline their bodies to run and to have the endurance that they need to run a marathon and to finish strong. It's a difficult task. Here or there, it says in verse 1, to look around at those who have won the race of faith. Look at the great cloud of witnesses who have endured in their faith in God and His Word and have received the prize, the heavenly reward. We learn here that there's not just a few. He says those who have gone before us and they have won this race through faith, they surround us. It can be pictured as an arena filled with the heroes of faith in the last chapter. And the spectators could be those who are the runners, the believers, going through the trials of life, those who are running the race in the arena while the spectators are watching us. But this in no way implies that people in heaven can watch over us or know what's going on earth. This is just an illustration. If we look at the words there, our word for martyr is the same Greek word that is used here for witness. These heroes of faith are not witnessing what we are doing. They are bearing witness to us that God is faithful and will see us through to the finish line. You see, God gave witness to their faith, and now they are bearing witness to us, believers who live thousands of years after they've lived their lives. You know, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, someone has gone before you. Someone has faced what you have faced in their life, and they have persevered by faith in God through it all. In fact, there are some in the body of Christ today who are persevering right now by faith. 1 Peter 5:9 states, resist him, meaning Satan, resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. There are many who are persevering through the most crazy, absolutely difficult circumstances that you can imagine. There are more martyrs, there are more persecution on the church than there's ever been in the history of our world. People are being persecuted. People are going through things just like you're going through and persevering in faith. Maybe some right here in this particular body that are persevering by faith in God and His Word through the same circumstance that you are facing right now. Could it be that the encouragement that you need to persist in faith is right here in this body from one of your brothers and sisters? Could it be that you haven't thought about your testimony of faith, that it could possibly help anyone else in the body? Suffering in life is universal. Everybody suffers. The perseverance that we need to prosper in this life and through the trials that we face comes from faith in God and His Word. We are encouraged and driven to persevere by faith from those we looked at in the last passage, those we see throughout the Bible who have had faith in God. But we are also encouraged and driven by those that live right here amongst us. Those who are persevering by a life of faith, trusting in God and His promises to fulfill them in the midst of their trial, in the midst of their hard time. Sometimes we don't even know. We don't know what's going on in the lives of others in this very body, in this family of God. We don't know that they may be going through the same exact trial, facing the same test that we are. And their faith could be a great encouragement to us. So we need to think about that. Paul even said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Basically, follow my example as I follow Christ's example. Paul persevered by faith in God and His Word through tremendous trial and persecution. He gave those around him a great example of what it looked like to face all the struggles of life, including the struggles of life that come from being a follower of Christ in an idolatrous world. The faith that you have shown, you right here, the faith that you've shown while facing trials in your life can be a great example to others around you. Even when you struggled and maybe lacked in faith, it shows others that you're a real person, a real human being, that you are desperate for the Lord's empowerment just like every single one of us is. Everybody is. Again, I said it last week, everyone needs to be involved in the body of Christ. This is more important than you know. It's not an option. God adopted you as His child into His family. You are a part of the local church. You're a part of the family. And it's not just about what we can gain from someone else. It's about what we can give individually. God has given you a spiritual gift. He's helped you through numerous trials, over many obstacles, and through it all, He's taught you spiritual lessons that you can pass on to others. He wants to use you to encourage others as you serve in the body, to be an example of someone running the race according to God's Word. This is so important. It's so important to be with the body, to build a relationship with one another so that we will feel like we can speak into someone's life, so that we'll know what's going on and encourage others by the faith that God has given us, or the lack of faith sometimes, the struggles that we face. It's good to share those things, to be real with one another. Remember those who have gone before you and learned from their example. Is there someone here, even today, maybe you know, who's going through a horrible trial? And they need your encouragement. They need to hear your testimony of faith. It's not bragging about what you have accomplished. It's boasting in the Lord's power and sufficiency. God is the one who strengthens our faith. He's the one who gets us through trials and teaches us these things. As we continue here in verse 1, we learn that as we follow the example of faith, the faith of others in the past, the faith of others around us, we also need to look to our own hearts. And we need to discern what things, what sins are weighing us down and holding us back from experiencing the abundant life that God has for you. Here he says, what I want us to see here is lay aside your sin as we run the race according to God's Word. Look at the end of verse 1 there. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So he continues here with talking about laying aside every weight. Have you ever wore a training weight? I remember having some as a teenager. I thought they were going to help me dunk the ball. Imagine that. I'm only 5'10". So I put these training weights on my ankles, you know, and I'd run and I'd play basketball in them. And, you know, they weigh you down. They have some benefit. But a runner would never wear these in a race because they keep him from running their fastest. A runner would never say, okay, I'm going to run with these because they're going to help me do my best. You know, they take the weights off because they want nothing hindering them from running their fastest. They actually wear certain types of clothes and certain types of shoes so they get the least amount of resistance as they run in order to get every little bit of extra speed they can in order to win the race. What types of things does he want us to lay aside here? What kinds of things weigh us down and keep us from running according to God's Word? Are all the things that weigh us down bad things? No. Just like the weights aren't necessarily a bad thing, they give a little bit of benefit, but they wouldn't be worn when running the race. You're running this race of life. There are many good and bad things that are a part of our lifestyles that keep us from running the race according to God's Word. There are many good things that by themselves are not necessarily bad, but can hinder us, can hold us back from running this race. A winning athlete does not choose between good or bad. They don't do that. A winning athlete chooses between the better and the best. For example, time is our most precious resource, and sometimes we waste it. We waste what little time we have doing things that aren't necessarily bad, but in no way do they accomplish any good in our lives. In no way do they help us run the race or strengthen our relationship with the Lord. No way do they mold us into the likeness of Christ. Watching TV is not necessarily a bad thing, depending on what you're watching and how much you're watching it, right? TV can be an okay thing. Phones keep us in contact with others. It's not a bad thing. It keeps us informed of things. Not necessarily a bad thing. Now, if you know how to check your smartphone or your device, you can check how much daily screen time is. I don't know if some of you might not even heard of that. Daily screen time, what are you talking about? That means you can check on your phone. It keeps a record of how much time you're on your phone. How much time you use it every day. The youth, they know what I'm talking about. They know what I'm talking about. And they would dare not show their parents how much their screen time is. But you can check. And if you do check, it's interesting to ask yourself, is my screen time on my device? Do I spend more time on that than I spend with God? Do I spend more time than I spend investing in others? Do I spend more time on my device than I spend investing in my spouse or my children? Something to think about. A good thing can become a bad thing when it keeps us from running the race according to God's Word, according to His will for our life, His plans, His works for you. There's so many things that can just take up our time and weigh us down. The world is offering us so much comfort and leisure and activities that promise fulfillment. But in the end, they are just worthless pursuits that really accomplish nothing. Satan loves those things because it keeps us occupied all along. Just keeps us occupied as we walk through life when God has something else for us and God has called us to do something else. He not only wants us to lay aside some of these good and bad things that we participate in, but He mentions here the Achilles heel of weights. Sin. It is that sin that clings to us and keeps us from running the race according to God's Word. Sin is actually disobedience to God's Word. 1 John 3:4 states, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness, meaning sin is breaking God's law. Sin is everything contrary to God's Word. Sin has destroyed this once perfect world. It has brought brokenness into your life and the lives of every human being. It has brought suffering. It has brought death upon this world. Sin is a horrible thing. Everything was perfect, and all of a sudden, through Adam, sin entered the world and it was all destroyed. And Christ will come again and make it all perfect. But right now, we live in this broken world. He's asking us to run this race with endurance. The endurance we need comes from God alone. It comes through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit within us. God is the one who provides sufficient power and peace and joy and wisdom and strength and leading to run the race with endurance. What does sin do? Sin grieves the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30. He's living in us. He sees what you see. He listens to what you listen to. As you participate in all these things, He's right there. And when sin is involved, it grieves God that His child would participate in such a terrible thing that has caused so much brokenness and destruction and death. Sin also quenches the Spirit's power in our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. It quenches the power that we have, the power of Almighty God living in us. Why would we want to quench that? That's what sin does. It quenches that. Sin separates people from God. We know that. Because of sin, mankind is separated from God. Jesus is the only way back to God, the only way to restore that brokenness. But even in a believer's life, sin hinders our relationship with God. It makes us distant from God. You wonder, well, I'm praying, I'm just not feeling like I'm hearing anything from God. Maybe it's sin there. Maybe sin has come into your life. Maybe you're holding on to something and it's hindering your relationship with the Lord. In every race, actually every sport, there are rules that we must compete by in order to run the race, in order to win. God's Word lays out for us the standard of which we live by, how we run this race. He clearly lays out what is expected of the runner, of each runner in this race, each one of you. Now, yes, He knows that we will sometimes fall down and scratch our knees and bruise our legs. Yet He is loving. He is patient. He is gracious. He picks us up. He tends to our wounds. He gives us the power to endure, to press on, to run the race according to God's Word. Through every fall, every hill we climb, in life, he teaches us endurance so that we can run till the end of the race, so that we can finish strong, so that at the end we may hear him say, our Father in heaven, say to us, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. Wouldn't you love to hear that from God? What is weighing you down? What things do you devote most of your time to? Take time this week. I want you to take time. I want you to write out, just for one day, I want you to keep track on an average day how much time you spend doing each thing. Write out everything you do in a particular day. And I want you to write out how much time you spend. I want you to kind of organize your day and see, how much time do I really spend on each of the things I do on a normal day? And then I want you to evaluate those things according to God's Word. Pray through those things and ask God, are these the best things that you want me to be involved in? Is this the best way to use my time? Precious time that I can't get back. Time that's slipping away every day. Time that might be my last little bit of time before I head on to be with Christ. Could happen any day for any of us. Ephesians 5:15 through 16 states, look carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Also, what sins are you keeping, are keeping you from running the race according to God's Word? Are these habitual sins that you continue to deal with over and over? Are there habits in your life that you refuse to call sin? This sometimes happens. It becomes such a part of our lifestyle that we can't bear to call it sin. Because we can't bear to think, how would we get rid of this? How can we change? Could be the sin of unbelief. I'm sure he's talking about that here. He just finished talking about all the saints who lived a life of faith. Maybe it's the sin of unbelief. Maybe we don't really believe what God says. Maybe we have a hard time believing in His promises. They're too distracted by what's going on. You know, sin and its consequences destroy your life. And the sooner you understand that, the better it's going to be for you. Sin and its consequences destroy your life. Yes, He forgives us of sin, but the consequences are there for you to deal with and live through. Sometimes, in the midst of this, prayer and fasting is needed to overcome sinful habits. Things that are such a part of your lifestyle, things that weigh you down, things that rule your life. Sometimes we need accountability from others to help us overcome our flesh. That's a part, that's why God designed the body the way He did. We need close friendships with one another so that you will be loving and honest with me and share with me. Hey, you're going down a road that it leads to destruction. This is not healthy for you. I just want to share with you, this might not be beneficial to you. This is against God's Word or for whatever it is. We need people who are going to be honest with us. Can you imagine what kind of life you may be withholding from yourself because you refuse to lay aside things that weigh you down and that keep you from running the race in all the works that God has for you? You could be, inadvertently, not knowing really, holding back, withholding yourself from a life that you can't even imagine, full of blessing, full of works that you've never even thought about. Because we refuse to lay aside those weights and run the race. We refuse to call sin, sin. So we remember those who have gone before us, living a life of faith in God and His Word. We lay aside every weight and sin that keeps us from running this race according to God's Word. And next, God wants us to follow Christ's example as we run the race according to His Word. Look there at verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, as we run this race, we can look back and we can see those who have lived a life of faith, who have gone before us. We can look around us. We can see those who are running with us in this race and who exhibit faith in God's Word. But we must look to Jesus. We must look to Jesus, who is always out in front of us as the perfect example. He is the pace setter. He is our goal. He has gone before us. Jesus has already run the race of faith. He has conquered it for us. He is the founder or author of our faith. He is the perfecter or finisher of our faith. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He alone will see us through to the end, to victory. We need to look to Him. Jesus came to the earth with a goal in mind. He knew the suffering He would face. And yet He kept His faith set on the joy that was set before Him, it says. Jude 24 states this. He says, "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy." It was His goal to one day present His church, you and I, His church before the Father in heaven. Holy, blameless, perfectly righteous. Therefore He came and He battled this sinful world. By faith He prayed to the Father and lived a perfect life. He overcame sin by destroying it on the cross. He overcame death by rising from the grave. He paved the way for us to run this race of faith in God and His Word. He is our victor. And He leads us in victory. He has made a way for us to run this race and leads us in triumphal procession. Looking to Jesus is the secret. It's the secret. Looking to Jesus is the secret to running this race according to God's Word. The race is difficult, the road is hard, the climb is steep, the enemies of Christ surround you, and they strive to trip you up to make you fall. But here He says, look to Jesus. We need to get our eyes off of ourselves. We need to take our eyes off of the things that we hold most precious to us. Things. We need to get our eyes off of what we want to do. And we need to get our eyes off of our circumstances, our trials, our tests, and we need to focus our eyes on Christ alone. He is the one who has won us the victory. He is the one who leads us. Picture Jesus running ahead of you, showing the way. Picture Jesus running alongside of you, helping you keep pace. Picture Jesus picking you up when you fall. Picture Jesus encouraging you along the way to keep your eyes on Him. Don't look back. Don't look to that trial. Don't look to that circumstance. Don't listen to what they're saying. Don't look at what the world wants you to look at. You look at Me. And you follow Me. That's what Jesus is doing for us. Don't be distracted by what the world says or what the world does. Look to Him. Let Him come alongside of you and help you run this race. In 1992, the Summer Olympics, Derek Redman was favored to win the 400-meter race. A third of the way through, he tears his hamstring really bad. Now he's limping along and he's falling down. The crowd is devastated. Their winner, their victor has fallen and it doesn't look like he's going to finish the race. His father breaks through security, comes out on the field, grabs his son, comes underneath of his arm and walks alongside of him, runs alongside of him, helps him finish the race. Just before the finish line, he lets go of his son. He lets his son cross that finish line on his own. You can't imagine how much Jesus wants to help you run this race according to God's Word. Romans 8:34 says, "Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God." Listen to this. Who indeed is interceding for us. Is that amazing? Christ is praying for you right now. He's praying you through this race. He is your greatest advocate. He loves you. He loved you enough to die for you. And He's praying. He's interceding for you every single day. He's praying for you. There's no greater advocate for you than Christ. He stands before the throne of God on your behalf. He says, "That is my child. He is covered in my blood. He is righteous. I made him righteous. And I am going to see him through to the end. He will see victory. He will stand in the presence of God. I am praying on behalf of you." That's what He's doing. How can we reject the things that He has for us in our life, knowing what He's done for us, how much He loves us, and how He perseveres in interceding for us? Just let that set in for a second. Just contemplate that. Not only did He take my place on the cross, not only did He take on all my sin, my yuck, not only did He take my punishment and die for me so that I would not have to bear the wrath of a holy God, He bore it for me. He rose from the grave, defeated sin and death. He not only did all of that so that I could have eternal life, He's interceding for me. He's praying for me. He is my greatest advocate. And He wants me to run this race and not stop running. He wants me to run it with endurance. He wants me to run it with faith in God's Word to pursue God's will, His work for me. He wants me to finish strong. He wants me to have victory. How are you running this race? As you run, what are you focused on? Who or what is setting your pace? Are you running however you want, wherever you want? Remember, you're not alone in your trial and suffering. Remember all those who have gone before you and they have ran the race in faith in God and His Word. Look around you at those who are running the race of faith right now and do as He says. Lay aside those weights, even the good things, so that you can pursue the best things that God has for you. And lay aside those sins that are keeping you from having the life that God has for you. And turn your eyes to Jesus. Focus on Him. Let Him lead you in this race. Let Him encourage you by His Word. He is patient and loving and gracious, and He is interceding for you right now. He wants to help you. He wants you to lay aside all those things that hinder your relationship with Him, and He wants you to have victory in this life and the life to come. He knows you and I cannot do this on our own, in our own strength. He knows that we need His help. And He is waiting for us. Every day when you wake up with open arms, He's waiting for you to come to Him, to look to Him, to have faith in His Word and His promises, to help you along, to comfort you, to bandage your wounds, to come underneath your arm and help you run this race all the way to the finish line. I want us to now turn our attention, our eyes to Jesus as we partake in this Lord's Supper. I want us to examine our hearts and I want us to see if there's anything in there that is weighing us down, that is holding us back. The Lord's Supper is a meal of remembrance of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, what He personally did for you. Remembering the free gift of salvation that we have received from Him. That's what we remember. And therefore, we invite all of those people who have believed in Jesus and surrendered their lives to Him to partake in this Lord's Supper. This is not a meal for those who do not have a relationship with Christ. This is something we take very seriously because in 1 Corinthians 11:29, it says, "For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." So out of compassion for those who do not have a relationship with Christ, we ask you that you would abstain. I want to read this passage as we think about the Lord's Supper and what He did for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11:23-26. "For I passed on to you what I received from the Lord Himself. On the night when He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread. He gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." There are two elements to this meal. We see first the bread that he prayed over and broke and gave. This represents Jesus' body that was broken for you and I. He died in our place. He was the Lamb of God who was sacrificed on our behalf, taking our sin and punishment on himself, the wrath of God on him instead of us. He gave his body willingly. He gave his body. And so we look back and we remember what he did by giving his body. We also see this cup, which represents Jesus' blood. It was shed for us. God says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Hebrews 9:22. His blood sacrifice paid the price for your sin. The Lamb of God, the sacrifice. His blood was shed for you, for me. But before we take of this meal, we must examine our hearts. Verse 28 tells us to examine ourselves before we partake of this meal. Paul talks about people who were not taking it seriously. It's flippantly, okay, yeah, here it comes. I'll pick up a cup of juice and take some. They were getting sick and they were dying. That's what it says. That's what the word says. They weren't taking it serious. So as we sing this last song, as the worship team comes, I want you to take time to examine your heart. Take time to remember what Jesus did for you. He paved the way for your salvation, your forgiveness. He is the author and finisher of your faith. Ask God about those weights. Those weights that are keeping you from running the race according to God's word. What are the best things he wants you to spend your time on? And ask him to reveal the sin in your life. Ask him to help you lay it aside so that nothing is hindering you from walking in his will. Invite him to look deep into your heart at things that you refuse to call sin. And repent before the Lord and allow him to prepare you for this meal. Let's sing this song and let's seek the Lord.
My light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, found through the fiercest storm and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when strikes are still and striving cease. My comfort, my darling one, King of the Christ, I stand. In Christ, who shall my flesh, fullness of God in me, I must pray this year. Thank you. days, powerful by darkness slain, endures in glorious days.
Deacons come forward as we get ready to partake of this meal. I asked if Quentin, if you would pray for the Jesus' body. Let's eat and remember Christ and what He did for us. Ask Gerald if he would pray and thank the Lord for His blood. Let's drink and remember Jesus' blood He shed for us. Heavenly Father, every day that we wake, may we give You thanks and praise for what You did on the cross for us. You have already given us eternal life. We know from Your promises, from Your word, that we will spend the rest of eternity with You. Lord, may we thank You and never, ever take for granted Your love for us, Your body that was broken, Your blood that was shed for us. Never forget that You died in our place and rose from the grave to give us life. Father, bless each one as we go out this week. I pray, Lord, that You would help us to ask You about the things that are going on in our life, evaluate our lives, and ask You what are the best things, the better things that You want us to do with our time. Things that glorify You. Things that honor You. Things that benefit Your kingdom advance and Your mission. Things that benefit our families, our children, our wives, our husbands. Lord, help us to know what those things are and help us to pursue You, to run this race, with faith in Your word. Lord, may we never forget that You are interceding for us, that You are helping us along, that You're there every step of the way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. right. Hope you all have a blessed day.